This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
G&D, welcoming you back. Sponsored by the law firm Condori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Remember, you got a chance to win Caps tickets to Game 1 for the final time today, coming up at 5:20. Make sure you are listening in about 17 minutes if you want to go see the Caps and the Montreal Canadiens. That is at the end of this segment in about 17 minutes from right now. Tony Pauline is outstanding when it comes to breaking down the NFL draft, consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at sportskeeda.com. Tony, thank you for hopping aboard. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. What's the story of this draft? I mean, just sort of thinking about this up at the top, I don't know who's going second. I don't know who's going third. I think now we kind of have the intrigue starting there. Is that how you see the story of this draft?
Yes, to an extent, because I think whoever doesn't go second will go third, and whoever goes third didn't go second. So I think those – I don't think we're there's going to be a surprise. I think the story, which is really driven by the media – is where the Shedeur Sanders end up, because, you know, that story has seemed to take all the oxygen out of the room. People say he should go second or third. People say, like me, say later in the first round. I think that's one story. The other story is Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, where does he end up? Some feel that he's going to be a top 10 pick. Does he really deserve to be a top 10 pick? And as far as I'm concerned, the last big story is Shamar Stewart, you know, the Olympic-type athlete from Texas A&M, who had 1.5 sacks last year and 4.5 sacks in his college career. Where does he end up? So I think it starts with – I think what you bring up is a storyline, but I think it starts with Shedeur Sanders, and there's a couple other players involved.
All right, Tony, so let's talk Shedeur Sanders. What is the best-case scenario for him in terms of how high he could go? What is the worst-case scenario if he falls? And then what are some pivot points of interest?
Well, I think the earliest he goes is New Orleans Saints, although I'm not convinced of that at all with what's going on with Derek Carr, and we haven't had any finality as far as that's concerned. If he doesn't go 9 to New Orleans, which I don't think he's going to, I think you got to look at the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 21, who need a quarterback. As I reported yesterday, Mike Tomlin is in favor of drafting Shedeur Sanders. Mike Tomlin doesn't feel he really needs Shedeur Sanders because he's happy going into the season with Mason Rudolph. If he gets past Pittsburgh at 21, I think what happens then is you got to look at teams that may want to trade back into the bottom part of round one from the early part of round two to maybe draft Shedeur Sanders. But really from 9 to 21, you look at those teams there, maybe the Seattle Seahawks, although they just signed Sam Darnold. You know, I don't see any team – in between those selections taking Shedeur Sanders because they need Shedeur, or they need a quarterback.
Is there a chance then, it sounds like you're saying maybe, that he could fall into the end of the first round? I mean, there's no way he would get to the second round, right? And I ask this because Washington's got the 29th pick. If somehow, some way, he hasn't been drafted, I feel like that helps them with somebody possibly coming up to pick up an extra year as a fifth-year option for a quarterback.
Or they just want the quarterback. I mean, I do think, like I said, if he gets past Pittsburgh at 21, there's a good chance that one of those teams in the bottom part of round one trade out to a team that, you know, is selecting at the top of round two, whether it be Cleveland, whether it be the New York Giants, whether it be the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, on, that didn't take a quarterback early in the first round, but need a quarterback for the future.
Tony Pauline with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Tony, where would you have Sanders and then by extension Cam Ward in terms of quarterback hierarchy, maybe if they were in last year's draft where Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May went 1, 2, 3, not long after Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix went, where do you have these two guys this year ranked maybe in comparison to those guys last year?
I think Cam Ward is maybe number four. Mm-hmm. He's battling for that fourth, fifth spot after your top three guys. I don't think any of these guys come close to the top three quarterbacks that were selected last year. I think Shedeur Sanders is probably battling with Bo Nix for that spot as the sixth quarterback selected. I mean, you know, a lot of teams and people like myself put a premium in a quarterback entering the draft off a tremendous season, off a high point. Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, even J.J. McCarthy. You could throw his name in that era. And that is Cam Ward. That is definitely not Shedeur Sanders, who really there's not a lot of difference between the tape from 2023 to 2024. In fact, you can make the argument that in some areas he regressed.
Tony, who's the best player in this draft, regardless of position?
In my opinion, it's Abdul Carter. It's not even close. I mean, people are going to, I think, mischaracterize him as an edge rusher, and he showed himself to be a terrific edge rusher last season when Penn State primarily used him, you know, out of a three-point stance at defensive end. But you go back to the 2023 film where he was playing more of a true linebacker spot, and he was terrific. I mean, he was dominant. Pursues sideline to sideline, stacks well against the run, showed ability in coverage. And even though the league is quarterback crazy now, you go back in the draft 25 years ago, it was the impact defensive player that everybody wanted at the top of the draft, and I feel Abdul Carter is exactly that.
So if he's there for the Giants at 3, you think they run the card up?
Oh, absolutely. I think it checks a lot of boxes for him. And, you know, with the third pick of the draft, you potentially get the best player in the draft. And the Giants, like the Browns, you know, they have a head coach and a general manager that's on a very short leash. They got to get immediate impact from whatever player they select next week. That player's got to be on the field week one, positively producing. And I think Abdul Carter can do that.
Tony Pauline on Grant and Danny talking NFL draft. You're on in D.C. Let's get to the Commanders. They have the 29th pick in round one. Obviously a light haul of picks after some offseason trades. What's your outlook for Washington in the first round at pick 29? Maybe the needs that you like or don't like for them? And then what kind of rumblings, if any, are you hearing about players they may be in on?
Well, I think they would want an edge rusher right off the top. I think that is still a position of need for them. I think at some point in time, they want to get a running back. This is a running back deep class. I think they also want to add, they want to add another receiver. They've done a good job in the offseason addressing some needs. So I think where they are selecting at number 29 and using picks to acquire veterans, as you mentioned, I think they just have to wait for the draft to come to them and see, you know, what is available to them. Are there any good pass rushers still available when they when they're called to the clock? Is James Pierce of Tennessee there? And if he is there, does he fit their system? If none of the edge rushers are there, do they look at an Omarion Hampton? If he's there, Omarion Hampton may not even be there. Or, as we, you know, mentioned before, are there any possibilities for them to trade down, collect some extra picks, and then load up on those positions or address those positions in day 2 and 3.
Tony, are there guys that you just kind of referenced some of those scenarios there, and this is kind of what Grant and I have been sort of dancing around here for a couple of weeks leading up to this draft. Are there guys, like you mentioned for the Giants, if Abdul Carter's there, you set a record, Usain Bolt style, run the card up. Is there a run the card up guy that might be there at 29? Or are they best served trading back because now you're in kind of that eye of the beholder, 6½ dozen the other range?
Well, I mean, talk to me next Thursday. We don't know that. Obviously, if a highly rated player happens to fall, again, James Pierce, if he falls to 29, there are obvious reasons why he fell to 29. There are some off the field and character concerns. You know, from a ability on the field point of view, yeah, I'm running the card up from James Pierce, who I like. But are you comfortable with all the other issues? If a Shamar Stewart of Texas A&M falls to them at 29, great athlete, I mean, fantastic in shorts and a T-shirt, but are you going to be able to teach him to transition that athleticism onto the football field, assuming he's even available to them? I mean, they're in a position where, I don't expect any big names except for the ones that I mentioned to potentially be there for them. Just have to wait and see, let the draft come to them.
Tony Pauline with us here on G&D. Are there some players in this draft that you aren't sure why they're getting as much praise or hype or attention that you've seen in mocks or otherwise that are going to go high that you kind of say, you know what, you enjoy that. That's not for me.
Yeah, well, I mentioned one in Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, he's a nice tight end. He's not Brock Bowers. In fact, Colston Loveland of Michigan is more Brock Bowers than Tyler Warren. But he's good. He's a solid pass catcher. He's a solid blocker. He does everything very well, but he's not a great prospect, especially for some people talking about him potentially being the 7th pick of the draft to the New York Jets or the 9th pick of the draft to the New Orleans Saints, where he could end up. I think what Tyler Warren does is he brings the ability to start on day one for a team and produce very early on. I think that, Tet McMillan's a guy who's falling, and I think what's going to happen is Matthew Golden, the receiver from Texas, could be the first receiver off the board, but he's still very rough around the edges. You know, he's not as dominant as Tet McMillan, the receiver from Arizona, was, but he's really done a good job in the pre-draft process. Ran 4.29 at the combine, had a great pro day, and you just hope that you can transition all those skills onto the football field if you're going to take him in the top 15.
Tony, speaking of wide receivers, Ty Felton out of the University of Maryland here in the DMV, I know you've been very high on him. He caught 96 balls for 1,125 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. And you had a report this week that you're being told the Commanders are pretty high on him. Where might he go, and what can you tell us about the relationship between Washington and Felton, who's been in their backyard?
Yeah, well, I know that Felton would love to play for the hometown Commanders, and I know that Washington likes him. In fact, during their local pro day, they had him in. And after all the on-field drills, I was told they took him out. And for half an hour, they had him field punts. Now, the thing about Felton and the Commanders is Felton projects as a middle of round three type of prospect, maybe late part of round three. Commanders don't have a selection there. So as I said in my report, what do they do, the Commanders? Would they take him with the 61st selection? Seems a little bit early as far as my board is concerned. Do they wait and cross their fingers and hope that he's around in the fourth round? I don't think that's going to happen. But again, we talked about maybe them potentially, speculatively, let's say, trading down in round one, getting a pick back in the third round, maybe even trading down. I think for them to take Ty Felton where he deserves to be selected in the draft, they're going to have to be creative.
Tony, really appreciate the time. I know you got to jump. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst, with some good insight on what the Commanders might be able to do at 29. I do think Shedeur Sanders is quickly becoming, though, the story. He's been the face of this draft for a while, but because of the uncertainty now, it does feel like as we get closer, the linkage between him and the Giants is dying, and in the top five conversation seems to be dissipating. It could very well happen. Nobody knows anything. But it does start to feel more and more like our guests are saying, back end top 10 into the middle of the first round. I'm a little surprised by that.
But again, this is, we've learned after so many years, you can't trust your ears or eyes as to what's happening right now. Anybody that there's variance on, sometimes it's true. Like, I can't remember the all the different examples, but Kenny Pickett was going to go high in the first round, and nobody's really interested. I think he went 20th overall, if memory serves, or 19th, somewhere in there. But sometimes the drop is real. Other times it's somebody's hoping that it happens, so they're trying to poison the well so that nobody takes a drink, and then they walk up and they're like, nope, it's fine, actually. We want that guy. So you always have to wonder who benefits from what around these times. I mean, this is you know borderline corporate espionage for everybody putting out information or stories or things like that about. So it's hard to tell what's real, but I will say the perception is if it's not 3 to the Giants, which it's now looking less so, if it's not 9 to New Orleans, .. then what? You're talking about a lot of waiting around, right?
Pittsburgh at 21, as Tony said, makes the most sense on paper, but that's not always how the draft goes. Mm-hmm. The Giants at 3 are going to get a dude, though, and especially if they don't take Shedeur Sanders, which might be best case for Washington. Not because he's bad, but it's a crapshoot. Maybe he's great, maybe he isn't, and he's going to take some time. But I do think if they were to get Abdul Carter, that is a slam dunk right away, because Cam Ward, like any number one overall pick quarterback, see Caleb Williams or anybody else, it's a guessing game, you know, in a bad organization here of late that hasn't won a lot. It's hard. Even Travis Hunter, a two-way superstar with the Browns, I think he's going to be really good. But I think Carter is the safest slam dunk home run pick. And if the Giants take him at 3, he's going to be a problem in the division for a long time. The Cowboys have the 12th pick in the draft. Is there anyone you don't want to see them get just as a NFC East Washington fan?
Because
the guy that I keep coming back to is, I could see them taking Amarion Hampton, home run hitting running back from North Carolina. That would be a pain to have to deal with him for years to come in the division. I'd rather them, I mean, obviously you want them to swing and miss it like a wide receiver or something.
Sure, yeah.
But, or if they went line, you know, that's pretty safe. You could go get a really good lineman. But I would hate for them to go get a weapon, whether that's Warren from Penn State or Hampton at running back. I'd like to see them do something where they're not getting anybody scared.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought about that specifically. Maybe a pass rusher that I like if Mike Green goes that early, that maybe a spot early for him, but the type of thing that would instill some fear. But I like your call there. Just a weapon, whether I would take him or not is irrelevant. I don't want them to have one and use it against me a couple times.
And we also know that the Eagles, who pick 32nd because they won the Super Bowl, will inevitably just get a guy that was supposed to go 15 picks earlier.
Who's the 13th best player in this draft? He's going at 32 to the Eagles somehow.
They will land like Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan. Yep. And then they'll trade Dallas Goedert, and you'll be like, yeah, of course they did. Or they'll get, I don't know, Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan or something. We'll just fall right into their lap, and we'll go, how do they do it?
The linebacker, Campbell from Alabama, the linebacker, somehow is 32nd.
Howie Roseman will just stay put, and everything will work out exactly how he wants it to. All right, we are closing in right now on 520, which means when I give you the cue to call here in a moment, you're going to be dialing to try to win Caps tickets for the final time today. This is to game one against the Montreal Canadiens coming up on Monday night, April 21st, this Monday, to kick off the Stanley Cup playoffs. Washington at home for a 7 o'clock puck drop. Remember, we're going to be broadcasting live pregame ahead of the contest, 2 blocks away over in Penn Quarter at City Tap House. But right now, caller number 10 at 800, excuse me, caller number 9 in honor of Ryan Leonard, not number 10. Very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing this for Brett Connolly.
Mm-mm.
We're not doing this for Matt Bradley.
Mm-mm.
We're doing this for Dmitri Orlov.
Okay.
And we're doing it for Ryan Leonard.
It's really Ryan Leonard now.
Caller number 9, 800-636-1067. You are winning the 2 tickets to the Capitals and the Canadiens. Tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. What did a lady do to save her husband? What animal did she fight off? I'm going to tell Danny next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
At 6 o'clock, in a little over a half hour, we'll be joined by EJ Raddick of NHL Network. I want to know nationally, from the national perspective, number one, how worried is he about how the Caps played down the stretch? How worried should we be? But also, what does he think of this young Montreal team? They picked number one in the draft a few years ago. They picked in the top five the last 2 years, and then they went on a rocket ship into the postseason this year. And it reminds me of like the Young Gun Capitals, where maybe experience isn't quite there yet. Maybe they don't have the snarl, but they certainly have the speed and the talent. Mm-hmm. But what kind of matchup is this for Washington? We'll ask him about that. Also at that time at 6, we have our final four-pack of tickets today to the D.C. Defenders. We're giving away tickets to their Sunday game, Easter Sunday, 5 p.m. kick over at Audi Field this weekend. So if you want those four tickets, make sure you're listening. Coming up in a half hour at 6 o'clock. Here on The Fan.
We are a ticket giveaway machine on this radio program today. Like, if you want tickets, you come here. And if you didn't get them, I don't know what else to tell you, man.
There have been tickets.
They just give out tickets. So many.
So I saw a story that... Oh, we got the winner on hold? I'm going to go to them real quick.
Let's do that.
Lucinda in Manassas. We should congratulate Lucinda in Manassas, our final winner of the Caps tickets. Lucinda, how are you?
I'm great. How are you all?
We're awesome.
I'm doing very well. So congrats. You're going to the playoff game. You were the final winner today at 5:20. How do you feel about getting your tickets to game one?
I'm very excited. Thank you all so much.
Who are you going to be taking?
My boyfriend.
Oh, there's a good brownie
points. Nice. That's good.
That's very good.
He's like way in your debt
is
now.
Is he a Caps fan, by the way?
We both are.
Very cool. And so were you guys both calling it on different phones trying to get the tickets, or did you strategize or just luck out? How did it work?
Yeah, we used a couple different devices.
Well, there you go.
That's smart. Good, smart. That's smart.
Hey,
yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
You want to win Caps tickets, you got to try.
Playoffs.
I'm all about it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, enjoy yourselves. If you guys want to stop by on Monday, we're going to be two blocks from the arena. Before the game, you can come over and get some drinks and some food and say hello. We're at City Tap House in Penn Quarter.
All right. Thank you so much, Grant and Danny. Appreciate it.
You got it. Enjoy.
I like it. Lucinda and her boyfriend are going to the... That is how you be a good friend.
That's what you do.
You win tickets and you invite your pal.
Mm-hmm.
He's so psyched.
Now, it's tough if you win the tickets and you don't invite him.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Like, they're both trying to win the tickets. It's like, oh, I want him in that crate. It's like, it sure is for me and my girlfriend who's coming with me.
Or worse, like her buddy who's a dude.
Yeah.
She's like, he loves the Caps more than you. And you're like, wait a second.
Oh, no.
No, he doesn't. She's like, he's always loved the Caps. She invites Carl from the office.
That's
right. How mad would you be if your girlfriend won two tickets to a playoff game?
The Caps fan she told you not to worry about?
Do you end it? Now, I'm sorry if they're still listening. I don't want to talk about the end of their relationship. I'm sure they're in love and they're very happy and they'll have a great time on Monday. I think you end the relationship in this hypothetical while we're cooking up some terrible stuff.
So the hypothetical is...
Lucinda calls in.
Yeah, the couple is, they're both trying to win the tickets at the same time with the idea that they're going to take the other.
Well, I would say it's not even verbalized. It's just obvious. We're dating. We're Caps fans. We want to go to the game.
We're both interested in winning the tickets.
Yeah, we want to win the tickets. So she calls. Ben goes caller one, caller two, caller seven, caller nine.
Mm-hmm.
Ben tells her she's the winner. Ben has a nice conversation with her. How about that? What if she invites Ben? Well, because Ben has
Well, now you got to break up because the prowess of Ben.
He's got a nice voice. He's very handsome.
Yeah.
He's got a 5 o'clock shadow. And she
loves
like,
Maryland so much.
Is Ben even allowed to accept the tickets? I don't even know the rules on that. I mean, he's giving them out. That's a little bit shady.
That's
right?
A little shady, McCoy.
I can't do that. I got a girlfriend.
Ben, you're ruining the hypothetical.
Well, also, you're just going to a hockey game.
You know,
what would your girlfriend? Wait, let's keep going.
All right, here we go. Let's play that.
Let's play it out.
What would she? What would
let's
she
turn
say?
To Ben.
Yeah. So you go. You call your girlfriend up.
Uh huh.
1 to 10 scale. How big of a Caps fan are you? Would you say?
Me?
Yeah.
9.
9's good.
9's a good number.
You call your girlfriend. You're like, you're not going to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at the office today with the boys. We're giving away Caps tickets. Lucinda calls up. Lucinda wins the tickets, and then Lucinda asked me to go. And she's like, "Who's Lucinda?" You say, "I have no idea. She's just a girl." I want to go to the game, though. Your girlfriend says?
No.
Mm.
She would be out on that? She knows you love the Caps.
It's tough. She's going to be like, why can't I get the tickets?
You didn't win them.
You didn't win them. Lucinda's being kind enough to bring you. She only has a +1. She doesn't have a +2.
I think the only option for me in this scenario would to take the ticket that Lucinda is offering me and then give it to Marissa. They can go and become friends, I guess.
Oh, Lucinda and Marissa go to the Caps game together.
Yeah, how about that?
How big of a Caps fan is Marissa, 1 to 10?
Yeah, pretty big fan. Her and her family, like, she wasn't really a huge sports person until she met me. Of course, I do broadcasting and this stuff for a living now, so she kind of had no choice. And I'm constantly watching the Nats game on the computer while she is trying to chat with me about her day, and it pisses her off to no end.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I'm like, what Dylan Cruz, it's, you know, it's beside the point.
Dylan Cruz grounded out, or whatever he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Anyways, her family would always go to Caps games growing up. That was the one team that she kind of actually followed for the most part until she met me. Now she's a big Commanders fan, goes to Nats games with me.
This speaks to my point, bro. She understands the magnitude of a playoff game.
Yeah, she does.
You know how expensive these tickets are?
She's been to Caps playoff games.
Right, and she would like for you to have that experience too.
Does she like you to be happy?
Yes.
Does she want you to be happy?
Sometimes.
Mm.
How about this?
Sometimes.
Let's get her on the phone and let's ask her the hypothetical. Should we do that?
Do you want to call her?
Yeah, let's ask her, hypothetically speaking, would she be okay? This is not happening.
No, literally, this is not realistic.
But in a world where you got the ticket from Lucinda offered, would she be cool with it?
Let's call her.
Let's ask her.
I'm going to call her up.
All right, see if she wants to come on the radio. Now, legally, you have to tell her she's going to be on the radio.
Yeah. So do that off air.
Yeah,
first.
Do all the stuff you need to do so I don't get sued. Because I have 2 children. Actually, I have 3 children.
You have 3.
I need to update that.
You should try
to,
by the way.
I'll have a 4th soon.
Sorry. Such a key thing to remember.
I need to keep adding to that.
Keep hammering it, yeah.
Over and over and over. So I think my wife would say no problem, to be honest. Although, now I'm wondering. I'm going to have to text her and ask her that.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
To summarize.
I don't think it's summarize.
How my wife would feel. Years ago, we'd been married for, I think, about a year and a half. And one of my best buddies, I was one of his groomsmen, he wanted to go to Vegas. A little bit cliche, but we did it, right? I don't know if you remember. We went to Vegas, and you guys called me, and I sounded terrible the following morning when we were out at some stupid club bar thing, whatever. But I told her, I kind of was like, hey, as a heads up, this is true. I'm not trying to be like a cool guy or whatever. But I was like, I don't really like strip clubs. I don't want to feel awkward in them. And that's my money. You can't have it.
It's the coming up to me and asking me to dance.
I just, no.
Asking me to go to the back room.
I don't want
to
buy you that bottle of expensive alcohol.
If I could go in and just have a drink and just be left alone, I would feel terrible and shady and awful, but I could deal. It's the, please leave me alone. Please stop coming up to me.
Yeah, it's like, to them, I'm the same as the guy that comes in all the time, like Lloyd, who's down on his luck, like, what's your real name, Toots? Like, I can't be.
You don't want to be Lloyd.
I'm not in the same. I don't want to feel in the same trough. Anyway, but I was like, you know, just as a heads up, like, you know, he likes strip clubs and it's his bachelor party, so we'll probably have to go. You know, just want to let you know, is that okay? And she laughed in my face. She laughed in my face because she knows how awkward I am and would be. You see what I'm saying?
Meaning she didn't mind.
She didn't mind, she's like, I wish I could see you there.
Yeah.
I wish there was a camera on you, idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it just, obviously you have a trust. Like, what am I doing? Where am I going? So I think my wife would say, you have a ticket to the game? And I'm like, yeah. Now if it's...
You'll never guess how I got it.
I mean, if it's Sydney Sweeney, and she just calls up the radio station, and she's like, hey, I've been listening to you guys for a while on the Odyssey app, and I really, really like want to take you to the Caps game. How does my wife feel? I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, let me respectfully.
Yeah.
Would your wife think that Sydney Sweeney is after my husband, Grant?
No. I mean, in this hypothetical, she can pick, she called into the station.
She can pick any dude on the planet. No. It ain't going to be one of us.
She's a P1, and she chose to call in and invite me to the game in this situation.
She knows you're a big Caps fan, and you'd have fun.
Or is it because she likes a portly fellow with a beard?
She's sweet on old Grant Harrison
Nobody
Paulson.
Knows. I believe Marissa is on the line. Marissa, thank you for letting us bother you. How are you doing today, Marissa?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very well. So here's what's happening. This did not happen at all.
But it's not realistic.
Yeah, it's not realistic. But in a hypothetical, okay, we're giving away these Caps tickets all day long. We just had a winner named Lucinda who's going to take her boyfriend. But we were wondering if Ben told her she was the winner and she was caller 9 and she got 2 Caps tickets to the playoffs. And then she just said, oh, Ben, do you want to go with me? And Ben's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm just a girl. And Ben's like, okay, fine. And then he called you and said, can I go to the Caps game with Lucinda, who I don't know, but she invited me. What would you say?
I might just let him go. If it was a playoff game, he really wanted to go.
You're the lady, Marissa.
Ben, do you hear this?
I'm hearing loud and clear.
Marissa, you're letting him go to the game. What's your thinking on this?
I trust him. I have a lot of trust. And he's going to be watching the game anyway and not even worried about her, probably. So.
See? And you know this based on all the times he's watching the Nats when you guys are sitting at home.
Yes. That's when he's watching sports, any sport, that's all his attention is focused on. So I trust him too much to think he'd do anything
bad. You were trying to have a serious conversation with him in the middle of, like, the 8th inning of a Nats game with the bases drunk, do you think would he ever turn off the TV and be like, okay, let's talk? Or how does that work?
If it was really serious, but sometimes I have to repeat things like 5 times before he acknowledges it.
Relatable.
Yeah, so, I was
sometimes,
gonna say.
Sometimes James Wood is hitting, and she's sure. telling me about, so I have to listen again because I got to lock in on the James Wood at bat.
But sometimes it's Jose Tena. I mean, here's the thing. You're going to get used to it, Marissa. You're going to have to repeat some stuff around us.
Sometimes Colin Poche is pitching.
Yeah, when Poche is pitching, that's when you get to the bottom of whatever she needs. Yeah. You're like, hey, what can I do for you?
Can I vacuum? I haven't vacuumed in a while.
When the fight started in the Pirates game a couple nights ago, I closed the computer. I was like, all right, let's watch a show now.
You didn't want to see the fight? That's a good moment.
No, because I knew what was happening. I knew the bullpen was going to collapse. I just didn't want to be part of it. Didn't want to see it.
Understood. All right, well, Marissa, this hypothetical is just that. Lucinda did not offer him a ticket. Should not be upset at Ben at all. It's just, we were just wondering.
He did great, I think.
I think everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Would you allow him to go? He said you absolutely would not allow him to go to the game.
Oh, he didn't think I was going to let him.
Correct. No. He said there was no way.
He used words like iron fist and like under control.
I'm too much of a ladies' man, things like that.
Like in a cage is how he described it.
Yeah, he said Lucinda would fall in love with me and she knows that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it only takes one game with this woman for him to fall in love with her, then I guess she can have him.
Oh! Yeah.
We just watched Temptation Island, and those people cheat on their partners within 5 minutes.
Yeah, those icky people.
Those are terrible people, aren't they? Marissa, we like working with Ben. He's a very nice young man. You have a very good boyfriend.
I'm glad to hear.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Marissa. Thank you for letting us bother you. All right. There's Marissa, ladies and gentlemen. That is Ben's girlfriend.
What a pleasant surprise that was.
She said he could go to the game.
So, Lucinda, it's out there for you. You have options.
Right.
Let's say your boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
Will cough. You can call back. Ben the Red will go.
Ben the Red is going to the Caps game. Let's go.
Ben the Red can rock
Ben
the Red.
Ben and Lucinda sitting in a
Caps
tree.
Game.
Sitting in section 413. Yeah. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, Danny, here we go. We're partying until what happens?
The song ends?
No.
Oh.
Until we die.
Oh.
That's the name of the song, right?
Seems so aggressive.
Wait for it. Let's see it drop here. Let's see what happens. Give me a little juice. Danny's getting ready. You look excited for it to drop. Here it comes.
There's a lot of anticipation.
There it is. That's what we're looking for.
Mm.
Danny came flying into the parking garage today, windows down. This was blaring. How loud? I mean, you were. That
I
must have been cranked to like 30 on
I wouldn't know where to find it. I will tell you that it took me forever just at the very Chris Russell style complaining about traffic. The last few minutes was not few minutes. It was 30 some minutes. Just that people couldn't figure it out. Just get out of my way. I gotta go to work, man. Move.
Traffic happens sometimes. Yeah. Today was one of those days.
One of them days, my friend.
Colorado's got a little issue on their hands, possibly. So they're retiring the numbers of Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, both of whom just finished their playing career this past winter, right? They're immediately getting their numbers retired, and there's major blowback about this decision at Colorado from a lot of their former players, many of them the former greats, because there's only been, I believe, four or five players that have ever had their number retired. This was a national championship team a couple of decades ago that had, you know, school Hall of Famers and longtime pros, Chad Brown, on that team that don't have their numbers retired. And there's this perception, this feeling like there is a line, that you're waiting in line to get your number retired, and that Shedeur Sanders, the son of the head coach, Deion, and that Travis Hunter are just skipping the line to go right to the front to have their numbers retired immediately. And while what they've done for the program is astounding, those two guys were the faces of turning Colorado from a almost defeated team that could never win.
1-11 a couple years ago.
Into a juggernaut that was really, really good. Not a national championship caliber team or a playoff caliber team, but closer to that than, you know, a team that can't win a game. They did really, really good things, and they've turned the program into one of the most important and influential and talked about in America. So they mean something to the program. But when you see the former players coming out, and I'll read you some of the quotes from them that are really, really upset, you kind of understand. They're going, well, wait a second, what did they do? They didn't win a national championship. They didn't get to the college football playoff. They didn't have a year where they lost a game or two, right? They played some good football. In Travis Hunter's case, as a two-way player, as a Heisman Trophy winner, I don't think anyone has as much of an issue with that, even though there's a thought that, like, when you go to the Hall of Fame, you wait 5 years after you play. It's not instant. But specifically with Shedeur Sanders and just generally with the expedited HOV lane to the retirement, they're going, what about everybody else? Why are these guys getting their jerseys retired? What's your take on this?
It's insane that they'd have their jersey retired. Insane. It's absolutely insane. This is the Arthur Blank level of insanity to me. They're both great players. They're both going in the top handful of picks in the NFL draft. That's not the standard. You know what I mean? Like, to have your jersey retired with only a minimum of 2 years of contribution to the school, that right there is eliminating.
Like, you were good for 2 years, Shedeur Sanders. In Travis Hunter's case, you were exceptional for 2 years.
Yeah, incredible for 2 years. Thank you for that. I mean, like, for example, I had a teammate who transferred from South Carolina who was an all-conference player who was awesome for a year. Is he on the list to get his jersey retired? No, of course not. That's absurd. The whole point is that at a minimum of 3 years, given the current climate, I can understand that would happen. But to me, that should be the prerequisite, is at least 3, preferably 4 years of contribution to the school at a really high level. So to me, right away, before we even talk about the caliber of player or whatever, skipping the line ahead of guys that, as you said, won national championships, that were doing meaningful stuff for the Big 12 for these 11-1, 10-2 type seasons years ago, I think it's absolutely insane that they would do that.
Shedeur Sanders was good, really good even, in 2023 in his first year as a starter there as a junior. But he didn't lead the conference in any statistic as a passer, not one, in the Pac-12. They moved to the Big 12 last year, and he did lead the conference in attempts and completions, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns. He had a pretty magnificent season. He finished 8th in the Heisman Trophy vote. That was phenomenal. So you're talking about one elite year and one really good year, two awesome seasons for him. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think this is ludicrous. And the optics are also terrible because you're the son of the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Deion Sanders had a quote about this, by the way, that I found hysterical. He said that basically if Shedeur Sanders' name wasn't Shedeur Sanders, we wouldn't be talking about this. And he's right, because this wouldn't be happening.
Because he wouldn't have his jersey retired. Like, Have you retired Darian Hagan's jersey from back in the late 80s? The game was different, but he ran for 1,000 yards, threw for 1,000 yards.
This was Dion yesterday. We're talking about Shador. We ain't talking about nobody else. If his last name wasn't Sanders, we wouldn't have this discussion. And to that I say, yes, Dion, you're right. Because the only reason you're retiring his jersey is because he's Shador Sanders. If he was Shador Ruye or Shador Paulson, this would not be happening. But also the immediacy is problematic in addition to just the credentials not necessarily being there. But if in 10, 12, 15 years, you've turned the program around sustainably, where now it's a power and year in and year out, it's a 10-win plus team, and you want to say that these guys did it by coming to Colorado, by setting the foundation, we're going to retire your uniform numbers, your jerseys. Even though I think that that's a little bit silly based on just 2 years of Shador, I could live with that. But the idea that after the couple of seasons he just had, before they play another game, you're retiring his jersey, it's comical. Chad Brown is their Hall of Fame linebacker. He went on social media and said, if the players from the national championship team have not received such an honor, by default this action dismisses, diminishes, and for a new generation of CU fans, erases their greatness. I would never minimize the impact of number 2 or number 12. They are amazing players, but this timing is poor. He got blowback from Dion and some other folks.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Tyler Palumbis, remember the former Redskins tackle who comes on the show with us from time to time? He does radio now out there and covers Colorado where he played in school. He said the vitriol from former players regarding CU retiring number 2 is loud. And that's Sanders, not Hunter. I don't think there's as big an issue again because Hunter's one of the great college players ever. He just had a year that doesn't happen. But he said, I think most, including myself, believe he deserves the honor eventually. Bypassing the line, bypassing number 2 Dion figures, doesn't make sense. So many all-time greats deserve the honor and have waited their turn. Why so fast? Zero waiting period? Feels like the first blunder of the Coach Prime era that has upset alumni.
Yeah, this is a relentless backpat, and the athletic department, what they should be able to do is say, let's have a moment of perspective. But you can't, because you're basically in debt to Dion, who's giving you all the attention, not you as the athletic director, but the program all the attention, and you cannot disrupt the golden goose. So you have to allow him to do all of these things. And again, I'm not telling you those guys aren't meaningful to the program to try to kickstart it, because it was in the dumps. It was in a bad place for a while. But again, there are everyone from Rashawn Salaam to Eric Bieniemy to you go down the list of like NFL players or multiple-time All-Americans or guys from teams that achieved that were great for years.
That are in the school Hall of Fame and haven't had their jersey retired.
Yeah, like this is insanity. This is where you go, this is the cost of doing business, right? I'm going to have so many good things come. There's more money coming in. Everybody cares. There's eyeballs. I got to just stand up there and fake smile and clap and applaud while a 2-year player at my school has his jersey retired before dozens of deserving guys. It's nuts.
Deal with silly geese. Operate and suffer silly geese, basically. Deal with some silly geese consequences. And that's kind of what you are here. With the immediate jersey retirement of the son of the coach who had the 2 good seasons, who is not yet even in the NFL. But I totally get it. The former greats and the players that are speaking out that are bothered. I told you this before. Mm-hmm. When they retired Sean Taylor's jersey, there was no animus about how great Sean Taylor was or posthumously giving him an honor who meant so much to the era of the fan base that he did. But it really rubbed a lot of guys that are former greats the wrong way. Mm-hmm. It fractured relationships. Darryl Green, John Riggins, some other guys. You know, and I just know that they fielded a lot of phone calls in the building over there from players going, seriously? The second ever jersey that's getting retired here? Not Sonny Jurgensen, who's 80, whatever he was. Darryl Green is not the guy. It's not Joe Theismann. It's not John Riggins. It's, you know, 4 years of losing football in the 2000s and obviously, it's a very different thing,
right? But it still
just rubbed a lot of people that were greats the wrong way about waiting in line and you know all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was personal for any of them against the Taylors or Sean, obviously. But I get it. EJ Raddick of NHL Network. What kind of matchup for the Capitals will the Canadiens be? We will talk to him about that next. And we've got those 4 tickets to the DC Defenders for you right here on The Fan.